This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, the internet radio show that tells you about the Akashic Records, that answers your questions, and we have wonderful discussions. And just as a comment, when you call in, even though there's somebody on the line, I want you to know that we have more than one line. So if you want to call in, even though somebody's on the line, I will know that you, I have a call waiting. So don't let the fact that somebody else is on the line stop you from giving a call. And we, I'm going to give you the numbers. And the numbers to call in is this worldwide toll-free is 888-228-4494. And so I also want to tell you that we email is up and running, and you can certainly email your questions to me if you have them tonight. And you can email me at info@akashicwisdom, that's A-K-A-S-H-I-C, wisdom.com. So I think I said, wait a minute, let me get my internet here. Okay, we're cool now. Okay, so first of all, before we even begin, I want to do a wonderful shout out to all the students and faculty and the director of Kent Hillel in Kent, Ohio. They had a wonderful dedication of their brand building today, and I just wanted to say how proud I was to be there, and how it was absolutely magnificent. The building was wonderful. The speeches were great, and the fact that my daughter is a very important part of that enterprise is made me very proud. So I want to say happy to everyone out there, and it was great being there today, this afternoon and evening. And I want to say a real, if I didn't say last week, I wanted to say congratulations to my son and his new fiance, Stephen Aaron, upon their engagement. So, yeah, so we have, I said last week, we have lots of blessings going on. And my kids took me out for dinner on Saturday night, and we had a wonderful time. In fact, that's what brings me to our show tonight. Now, you know, when we talk about the Akashic Records and we talk about what we can do with the Akashic Records, one of the things that I wish I would have had this when my kids were young, but I've got it now that I have grandkids. But one of the things that's great is that you can use the Akashic Records to help you parent. And one of the things I recommend to folks who learn to read their own Akashic Records, that if they have children, they should, it's not about opening their children's records, because we don't open the records of children under the age of 18, because they have things to sort out, and it's not about interfering with their life energy or their decisions. Because this is deep work, we work on core issues or things that may be bothering people, etc. And so consequently, we don't open the records of children under the age. Who are parenting those little ones, or to I wanted to just kind of share with you on that. And one of the things that I have found is that when a person is parenting their children, now again, we can talk about parenting of your own children, we can talk about parenting of your grandchildren, we can talk about parenting of your nieces and nephews if they're around you, and you can also talk about parenting your inner child. I think we talked about this on another show, but it bears repeating. One of the things that is so important around parenting is honoring. You know, so many times we treat our children in a way that is just not honoring, and then parents wonder why they are not being honored. And the other thing that we really need to look at is giving our kids permission to be happy. And I want you just to look at how many times we will tell children to be quiet or stop that when they're in the middle of joy. They're in the middle of giggling. They're in the middle of playing and or being silly. They're in the middle of being happy. And we as adults, for whatever reason, we've had a tough day. Their laughter hurts our ears. It's too high. They're fooling around. Whatever the case is, we tell them to be quiet. We tell them to stop. And there are other things, too. It's like, let's say a child is running because and skipping because they're happy. We tell them, be careful, don't fall, rather than just allow them to be happy. And what the message for tonight around from the record keepers is that it's very important that we look at how we give ourselves permission to be happy. What do we do, and how do we allow ourselves to be happy? In fact, I know we've talked about this before, but for whatever reason, it's coming back again. It has to do with, you know, the 9-0-9-0-9 and how we're requalifying things. And, you know, the idea is that we need to really look at the issues that make us happy. Now, what I would love to hear is what you did that you were willing to release, and what are your intentions around that? And it's not about it's not about criticism. It's about just allowing yourself to notice what you no longer need that prevents you from being happy. So, you know, if you folks would like to call in and talk about that, that'd be great. And remember, we're doing this anonymously, in other words, you're just using your first name. If you really want to ask a deep question, I encourage you to email me with your first and last name, because then I'll have it in front of me. But when we're on the air, and I don't mention it, by the way, so I would just mention your first name. But you know, I want you to just think about where in your life, or who gave you either permission to be happy or told you it wasn't okay to be happy. Now that can go for okay for money. It can be okay for good relationships. But most of all, the underlying core issue on everything is the permission to be happy. So, would like to just kind of have you think about that for a moment. So I'm going to think about that. So we're going to throw that out as a subject. And what the way I work the best is if you call in with a question, and then we have a discussion from the records. That's so much fun when you call in and we talk about what the records have to say about the subjects that you are curious about. So again, that number is 888-228-4494. Now I have an email question here, and I'm going to read it. It says, from last week's show on 9909, I've been doing my work. It feels more like mental work. Weeks ago, a vision of a Christ figure and two golden crosses appeared to me. Maybe others too. I am using this vision to focus on when my thoughts go to past events that don't serve me. Kind of the light, like the light at the end of the tunnel to keep me moving forward. With subjects of Christ Trinity, it isn't a religion, it is spirituality for this particular person. My question is, what is truth? Could we ask the record keepers for a definition? There is my truth, divine truth, etc. And so this is the question that we have out here too. And again, feel free to comment on anything that's being said. So what this listener wants to know is, what is truth? And what is the definition of truth? And we want to ask the record keepers. Well, that's interesting. What the record keepers are saying is that divine truth is the purest form of love. Human truth is what aligns you to joy, that harms no one. So it is a harm-free alignment that brings you joy. That is truth. And so I'd love to get a little bit more insight on that. So as a comment, folks, I access the records through a holy prayer. It's a specific sacred prayer, and the words that are in the prayer are vibrational keys that shift the energy to make the information accessible. And so when I have a conversation with the record keeper, it knows that I talk slower because I'm listening and I'm not interpreting anything. I'm telling you exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel. So I have to just literally, I tell you the words that I hear. And the same thing happens when we do an individual consultation. I open your records, you ask the question, and I tell you exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel. I thought I had a caller on the line, but I guess, hello, is there a caller on the line?
Oh, hi. Yes, hi. I'm calling because this is the first time I've ever heard your show. And
okay,
the Akashic, yeah, I like it, particularly on the Akashic Record Keepers. And I'm an artist, and there's always a sense with most of the artists I know, because I kind of hang out mostly with artists, that you can't find your happiness. And the only time you can really have even a bit of happiness is when you're doing your art, but yet you have to survive. So I wonder, is there like a message for artists, the Akashic, why do people even choose to be artists? Is it something that they just can't help? Like, I feel for me, it's, I wouldn't know what to do if I wasn't an artist.
I think that's a great question. May I have your first name?
Oh, sure, it's Kim.
Kim, and where are you calling from, Kim?
Well, right now I'm in Oakland, California.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm so glad you found us on the air. And, okay, so the question is so the question, if I'm hearing you correctly, is there true happiness for artists? Is that what you're saying to me?
Right, like, if, a lot of times, just from dealing with artists, it almost feels like to me, there is, when you decide you're going to devote your life to art, there is something that you're kind of, especially in American society, your parents want you to be something else. Now, that's not usually a career they would choose, whether it's as a writer or a painter, or they just, I remember I have a friend who's been an obstetrician, and
yeah.
He told me that his father told him if he wanted to be a painter, he basically would not have his blessings. So when a person comes in as an artist, is there a kind of a group soul agreement for you to kind of have a rougher time? Or is there something connected with all artists in the Akashic Records that somehow makes you a little bit different or realizing that it might be a bit of more of a struggle? Or are we just so self-absorbed that that's what we just think, so to speak?
No, that's a great question. So what you're asking is there a soul group, it's a soul group question about why artists seem to have to suffer for their art.
Or they believe, there's a belief,
that's,
I think, for a lot of artists.
But that's the record keepers are saying, is that they come in on the ray, if you will, or the frequency, the vibration of the belief, okay, that you have to suffer. So it has to do with an underlying belief that is like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, where is that from, and why is it there? Now, just let me give me a minute. This is fascinating.
Sure.
Well, interestingly enough, what they're showing me is that there was a time, and I can't get the exact year, but they're showing me like when I want to say Marie Antoinette's time, okay, because that's the way the women are dressed, all right, where they had court artists, where the artists would be supported by wealthy patrons. And so the patrons would actually support the artist, and the artist was actually revered. And so the wealthy patrons would support them. And as the Industrial Revolution came forward, and there were more machines. It's almost like people, what the record keepers are saying, is that the society actually, the mindset of the society actually shifted from being cultured to more of a materialistic mentality, okay? And so that the focus was, I mean, it's not to say that there wasn't culture and there weren't people that were focused on culture, but at the time of Beethoven, at the time of the various
Mozart, all those people
they all had patrons, and they had patrons that would support them. And then when the Industrial Revolution came, the artists actually lost their patrons, because they were actually investing, if you will, in other things. It's almost like there was something else to take their attention. And so consequently, the artists became more of a, what they're saying is that being an artist became more competitive, and there were colonies of artists that actually tried to live off the land, because they weren't necessarily educated. They only had their innate talent, or were only schooled in their talent of art. So it's almost like the underlying belief here has to do with that's being carried by artists, is I can't take care of myself.
And it's interesting, and a lot of artists do feel that way.
Yeah, I can't take care of myself, and a lot of healers feel the same way. I can't take care of myself. My art or my work won't support me.
Yeah.
And so go ahead.
Well, there's a lot of competition in the art world.
I mean,
where a lot of people, I put on events, and sometimes I put on poetry events, and I remember watching artists come up to me and saying, "You gave this person a minute two or 2 minutes more than you gave me." Or
now, what do you do?
Put on events.
Yes,
I put on events, and then I write plays and produce plays. I just literary things, and there's always a scrambling for money, and to me, it's a fight. There's so much competition, and people rushing for that, thinking there's not enough. And to me, a great healing for the art world would be a healing where people realize that there's never not enough, that the universe has something for everyone, and that the perception that there is not enough is a limited way of thinking.
Well, they're coming from a place of lack.
Yeah.
It's the belief of lack, and what I'm also hearing is that there was again, what the record keepers are saying is, from a human species point of view, there, when the Industrial Revolution came and there was more materialism, people were more aware of what they didn't have and what they couldn't have. Before that, it's almost like there was a caste system where they may not like where they came from, but they were resigned to their lot. Do you know what I mean? It's a
sure.
Like rich were rich people, and then there was poor people, and it was like a different mentality. Whereas there's something about people, and also there was a belief system that they can't go any farther that came over and was also held onto in certain areas where they can't, again, they're going back to can't take care of themselves, can't change who I am, can't, you know, never get, and so as the longer they keep the belief system, I'll never get paid for my art, I'll never get anything published, I'll never get anything sold, or I'm not good enough, they keep rolling this, and as soon as they keep rolling this, that's what they attract.
So the law of attraction goes into place.
It's the negative aspect of the law of attraction. And so the question that even before, in other words, like I actually have a class that's strictly on creativity for artists in the Akasha that teaches them how to actually open their Akashic records and create their art or their writing or their music or whatever their modality is and whatever their medium is to expand the energy of it. I mean, it could be from jewelry making. Say again?
Where do you teach this class?
Wherever I'm called to teach it. If there's a group of people, I go where I'm invited. Or I'll teach it here in Cleveland, Ohio, because I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. But I will teach it wherever I can get 10 to 15 people together.
That sounds amazing.
It is amazing, yeah.
What I love to know just for myself is happiness. Like today, I just finished doing a play, producing a play, and I'm finished doing it today, and I felt really happy, whether it was the best play or not. But what, I say to myself, what makes me happy? You know, and how do I reach for that happiness, just like how you said? Is it, How do I find the sense of that happiness, and how do I hold on to it? Or maybe you're not supposed to hold on to happiness. I don't know.
Well, yes, you are. But it's what was being said before. It's about the idea that we learn as children, we're stopped from the action or the activity of happiness. I mean, if you think about kids, I mean, they're not supposed to get dirty, and they, you know, they can't. I mean, adults put various parameters on children that really stops them from their feelings. It's not even something adults mean to do. It's just something that they do because that's the way they learn themselves, and then they just hand it down. And so, what we need to do now to be able to recapture our happiness is to actually ask the question of the universe and not even worry about where the answer comes, to allow the universe to bring us the answer. And one question is, why am I so happy? Why do I know that I feel happy? And just not even worry about the answer. Allow the universe to fill in the void of the question. The universe hates a void. And so we also have, our brains are like computers. And our subconscious is like the computer. So why am I not getting any clients, you're not going to get any clients. The universe will answer it that way. Why can't I be happy? Well, the universe
will
answer
that. You're never
going to be happy. Exactly. Why can't I make any money? Or why can't I take care of my... All those negative things. Whereas if, in fact, you say, why do I know I'll be shown happiness? Or why is it okay for me to be happy? Why is it safe for me to be happy?
Should I be saying, why am I so rich?
It would be, why am I safe to be wealthy?
Oh, why am I fated to be wealthy?
No, safe. Why is it okay for me to be wealthy?
Oh, okay. Why is it okay to... Oh, I love that. Why is it okay?
No, but notice how it feels in your body. Notice how it feels in your body, Kim. It actually shifts the energy. If you say, why is it okay for, why am I safe to be happy? Why is it okay for me to be wealthy? And if you list those questions...
I love that.
Yeah. It's fascinating information. And so the idea here is when you ask questions like this, you actually ask yourself and you ask the universe, and without putting a pressure on anyone, anything, or yourself to answer it, your life will shift. For example, why do I know my play will be widely received?
God, I'd love that.
Well, yeah. Why do I know the theater will be filled with paying, attendees?
This has never occurred to me. Did you just think of this, or do you do this?
No, this is part of a man's work by the name of Noah St. John, but it works so well within the records. Because when you're with the record, I mean, the man's name is Noah St. John, and his counterpart is her name is Denise Beard, and they developed these questions that are just fascinating, and so when you know there's so many times we journal or we work with our questions in a negative way that makes us wrong. Now within the Akasha, you want to ask for insight, for example, about why certain things are the way they are. Nothing wrong with finding insight so that you learn more about yourself. That's fine. But if you're really trying to manifest, the idea here is to not box yourself in and having to create it, because that's too much pressure. And our fear of failure is so great that we'll sabotage ourselves every step of the way.
This is great.
Yeah,
I've got all my answers that I need right now. This has never occurred to me, and I'm going to do it because this is what I want. I want better. So why am I having so much better is what I guess I would say to myself. Why am I having such a better life or a great life?
Why is it okay for me to have a great life? Yeah, see, the idea is it's about feeling safe, about feeling okay to be wealthy. You know, one of the questions he asks that in his little books that are great, he'll say, why is it okay for me to be, why is it okay for me to be deeply spiritual and wildly wealthy at the same time?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
For me to be deeply spiritual and
wildly wealthy at the same time. I mean, that's a joyful question. That's a joyful question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, these questions are geared to bring you joy. Am I right?
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. What you do is produce plays for people or for your own plays or what? Or events or what?
Events, and like right now, next week I have four plays, short plays, and after that I'm doing a full-length play, but I have to raise $250,000 to get it done.
Well, so here it is. Why do I know I will have all the money I need anytime I need it to produce all the plays I want?
I know I will have all the money I need.
Yeah, to produce all the plays I want.
All the plays that I want. And then by saying this, the cosmic gives you the answer.
Well, again, in other words, like it's, now you can't be like a little kid on the trip. You know what I mean? So you can't say, are we there yet? Are we there yet? I didn't get my money yet. I didn't get it. Where is it? Where is that money? Because if you do that, you're kind of defeating the purpose here.
Right, right.
It's just about asking and just letting it go.
Wow.
Okay. You could also say, why do I know the perfect benefactors will come forward to help me produce my plays or investors?
Well, I love that one.
Yeah,
why do I know
the perfect investors will come forward to help me produce my plays?
Why do I know the perfect? What about the women that wants a perfect man? Or there's no perfect man.
There's a perfect guy. Well, you know, the whole idea is, why do I know that I will attract and maintain a healthy, loving relationship? Or why do I know why do I know that the perfect person is coming into my life and staying with me?
Oh, I love that one. Perfect person. That is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, because I want to be specific, I think I'd put the perfect man. Because it could be a perfect girlfriend.
Well,
you know?
For sure. Or you can say the most loving. Why do I know the most loving, perfect relationship with a man is coming to me?
I like that. That is really good. Thank you. I got my answers tonight. I'm going to listen to your shows. Thank you very much.
Well, that's great, Kim. Keep in touch. And if you'd like to be on my email list, email me, and I will put you on my email list. Yeah. And if you ever get a group of folks, you know, I'd love to come out and teach.
Oh, believe me, I'll get a group. Okay?
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. Well, yeah, like I said, email me at info@akashicwisdom.com and let me know, give me your contact information so I can keep you on my list.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kim.
Bye.
And tell your friends and keep listening. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. So that was a great call from Kim. Now, you don't let that stop you. Come on, keep on calling here. The idea here is that we need to see that we are creators. The same way we have a divine creator, we have that divine creation spark within us. However, we as humans so want to control things or think we have to control things. And those of us out there that feel that they're out of control feel ashamed because they want to control, they feel they're out of control, and so they're between literally a rock and a hard place. They don't know which way to turn. And so turning over your idea of allowing the universe to answer what you need is a joyful thing to do. You don't really have to know anything. So just know that. I think we have another caller. Hello, caller.
Hi,
is there a caller on the line?
Yes,
good.
Hi.
Who is this?
This is Pat.
Hey, Pat. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Connecticut.
Okay, Pat. How can we help you tonight?
I just want to say that last call was fascinating. Thank you for that information. I'm an artist, too.
Ah, great. Good. What kind of artist are you?
Oil paints, mainly. And I do, my favorites is portraitures of animals.
So your question could be, why do I know that my portraits of animals will totally and completely support me?
Oh, that's great.
Thank
you.
You're welcome.
That's terrific. I want to ask if you can open up my Akashic Records, and I'm just trying to, I'm slowly putting pieces of the puzzle together to try and, be a completely different person, but what I've been struggling with lately is anxiety, and I know it's to do with trauma, this life, and other lives, and I'm just trying to get to the core of it in any way I can.
Okay, so you're wanting to understand what's the core of your anxiety?
Yeah, I developed agoraphobia when I was six. I know things happened. Yeah, I'm just hoping to get maybe one more piece tonight to help me put this together, or maybe I can get a, you know, complete answer.
Sure.
Which would be great.
So when's the last time you were out of the house?
Out of the house?
Yes. Isn't agoraphobia where you're afraid to go out?
Oh, you know what? Because of my family, we could never show anything or talk about anything, so I hid it. So actually, my whole life, it was quite stressful, but I learned to hide it. So I go out of the house, and I think I probably still suffer, but I've developed such a way of dealing with it that I don't even really, I don't think I'm suffering from it. Although I can go out and come home and feel profound grief, and I'm beginning to think, oh, maybe this is where it kind of leaks into now, because I've just done such a great job of you know, hiding it or coping with it. Although I also realized very recently that it's taken a huge toll on my life. I didn't realize that. You know,
yeah.
Physically, it exhausted me. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, what I'm getting here from the records is that it's almost like you're what the fear of being exposed, even though you were forced not to talk about it or to literally admit you felt it, the way it's manifested is it has to do with you being afraid within yourself to even allow yourself to be who you are.
Yes, exactly. That I know.
Okay.
And I don't know that connection that you just made, but yes, I do not allow myself to be myself.
And have you done any kind of professional counseling with this?
My whole life.
Yeah.
And in actuality, it's only been in the past year and a half that I've really found a really good therapist. But then again, therapy only does so much. I find I'm making, you know, more progress by talking to people like you.
Sure. So, and have you done what we're asking here is how much work, inner child work, have you done?
Not much. I think because I had to really view my fear as a weakness, so I've been not very kind to my inner child. Something that's come up that I hear myself say when the anxiety wakes me up in the morning is that it's really dangerous to be with myself.
Yeah, and that's the fear. It's almost like you've got two people talking to you. One of the things,
yes,
with your therapist, what the record keepers is saying here is that the internal work that needs to be done is that the child within you needs to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but the piece here is it has to also do with you okay, so there's also, so the child then has to feel safe. What the record keepers are also saying is that when, as you were growing up, what you were concealing was also a great rage.
Yes.
And the rage that you were shoving down is what you're actually afraid of. And the fear has to do with actually expressing the rage. And that's why you're afraid to be who you are, because of the rage.
Okay. May I ask you a question? I don't
sure.
even know. I have a very good idea that I have probably profound rage, but I don't know what it's about.
Well, it's not even something that you have to know what it's about. It's almost like what I'm hearing is that once you start expressing the rage in a safe place, either with a therapist or someone that can help you, you know,
okay,
when you start experiencing the rage, what the core for the rage will come forward, because in this particular situation, what the record keepers are saying is that there's multiple layers of rage. And for example, there's anger for not feeling, well, let me get these right. There is anger for not being allowed to be free enough to feel anything, for that matter. There is an anger around not being able to express anything. There is an anger around as a what they're saying is as a teenager of not being seen even by your peers for who you are and feeling like you are on the outside looking in. Does that make sense to you?
What's very strange is today I went to a place where I take art classes. It's a wonderful organization. And I arrived, and there was a phenomenal drummer and drummers. And I just immediately got up and started dancing, and other people were dancing too. And it was, and my ego is not strong in the sense at all, but it was very bizarre. I wasn't being seen at all. Where everyone else is being seen. So it's interesting that you say that today. And I was just, you know, taking note of it. Wow, this is really interesting.
Did you feel free because you weren't being seen, or did you want to be noticed?
I wanted to be a part of it. I didn't want to stand out, but I wanted to be acknowledged.
Right. And so what there's that what the record keepers are saying is that there's an internal rage. Again, this is from childhood and especially from teenage years, for not being seen. There's also rage about your art in certain cases not being accepted by certain people or valued, and there's also rage about not feeling valued just as a human being. What they're talking about is also rejection and betrayal. Can you identify with that?
It's interesting. Everything that you're telling me is going to be really helpful because the things that's in my head are angry at myself for not being a good enough artist, not being this, not being that, but I'm seeing...
Hello?
All these things
that
you're telling
me.
All these things that you're... Oh, I'm here.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm still here.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay,
they're trying
going.
To... They're really making the point of not being seen or heard.
Isn't that interesting, huh?
Yeah. Oh, this is so helpful.
And so what's really important is that it's about really getting in touch with that rage, because the rage has been so strong, it's actually been debilitating. At times, it's created a lot of depression. And what I'm hearing is that it's a lot less now because you're really wanting to come out and to understand more about who you are. But what they're saying is that at times, it actually created a space of not wanting to be seen at all, and that's what the agoraphobia was all about.
Wow. Oh, wow.
You see, the agoraphobia was brought on from the rage of not being seen and being afraid, and then even being afraid to be seen, because there's a part of you that is so afraid of the rage that you don't want to even know yourself for fear that you'll lose control.
Yes. Wow.
Is that helpful?
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Really phenomenal what you're telling me. You're giving me so much information.
And so the piece here is you want to take this information. If you feel comfortable with this therapist, you want to go to the therapist and say, this is what I need to work on. I need to understand what freedom feels like, because that's the other piece. There's a piece here where what you're longing for in the depths of your soul, and this is what the record keepers are saying, is freedom.
Okay.
Can you even imagine what it feels like to be free?
No, but I do. Lately, I've been thinking of when I was younger, when I traveled across the states, and so many things I did, I was much freer, and I wonder, where did that person go?
Right. Well, and so instead of being angry at yourself for being helpless and not being able to find her, be willing to take a look at another aspect of who you are that might be even more free now.
Yes.
And the other thing, the picture they're showing me is you spinning. It's like dancing and just spinning. It's like you have this flowing gown on, like this flowing real, and they're just, and it's not like you're spinning to get dizzy, you know? It's like you're just twirling around and around in a joyful way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you do that or not, but what they're recommending is that you pick out some of your favorite music and dance in the house, in your home.
Okay.
And allow yourself to align with the music, because there's something about tones that can actually help you release some of the anger. They're talking about performance art. Do you know anything about performance art?
I created a dance and had it go for a year and a half. I put so much money and time into it, I finally gave up. And lately, I've been looking into going into shelters and women recovering from addiction, or maybe female soldiers, trying to figure out how I can continue to bring music to people and also keep myself dancing. So, yes. And
so that makes sense. Okay, so the other thing is that you may even want to go into the shelters where women have been abused.
That's where I've approached, yeah.
Right, and so the idea here is and to teach the children in those shelters how to dance and be happy.
Okay, the children.
Mm-hmm. And so because what they're also saying is that it, and just very informally, invite your inner child to dance with the children.
Okay.
But you should really, what they're suggesting is that you work with your therapist on helping your inner child feel safe.
Okay.
There's a wonderful book out, it's been out for quite a while, called The Inner Child Workbook.
Okay.
And it's by a friend of mine, her name is Catherine Taylor. And it's Catryn, Catherine Taylor. And she wrote this book probably about 15 years ago,
okay,
or more. But it's a wonderful workbook that you can look at it. I mean, you know, pick it up at Borders or order it, you know, from the library and look at it and see if there are some exercises in there that you feel would help you free up.
This has been phenomenal. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Pat. Please also email me and I will put you on my email list.
Okay, good.
Yes. You know, have you listened to the show before?
I have, and I've talked to you a couple of times before, and you've just been profoundly helpful every time. I have to say this information tonight is just going to help me so much. It's so
good.
Rich, and you've given me so much information.
Good.
I'm
glad. That's the whole purpose of this. I'm glad it was helpful for you. Good.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Pat. Have a wonderful
good.
Evening. Okay.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. So the idea here, folks, is it's really about really drilling down and finding out where you're at. What's creating, sometimes you don't even have to know, but other times you want to know. But the piece is, the reason why sometimes, here's what the record keepers are saying, is a very fine line. So there's a very fine line about finding out why, because it helps you if you have someone that can help you sort it out. Finding out why is not to find someone to blame. Finding out the core issues of why is not about blaming parents for what they didn't do. So really know that it's really more about moving into your own truth of what you want now. So we have another caller online. Great. Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Who is this?
This is Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. Where are you calling from?
California.
Great. What part?
Southern California.
Southern California. That's good. Well, how can we help you tonight?
Well, I was just calling to, I've never listened to the show and I've never called.
Okay.
So it's my first time calling, but I was, you know, interested in what I was hearing, so I was just kind of calling to see what you had to say.
Okay. Do you have, the way we work with the Akashic Records is that it's really about you asking questions. So, what we're doing here is not really a psychic reading, it's more about of a soul reading. Or soul information. So, do you have a specific question?
Then yes, I have had a lot of family issues, and I felt like I have worked through them, but I still feel a little bit of a block. I'm kind of wondering how to get past that little bit of a block.
Okay, the more specific the question, the better the answer. Because it's like a filing cabinet, you know. So the idea here is, if you can be more specific, that would be helpful. So, where do you feel your block is towards what, dear?
Towards forgiving, you know, the things that happened in my past, my childhood.
Okay. All right. So the idea here is you've worked through a lot of things. You feel that you have moved into a space where you're blocked, where what you're saying is you're blocked in actually releasing the information. What I'm hearing is that you want, for whatever reason, you're holding on to it out of a fear that if you forgive, you're going to let somebody off the hook.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and so the idea here is that the idea of forgiveness is not about letting somebody off the hook. It's about healing your heart so that they no longer have control over you.
Okay.
So if you would consider, if you would consider that the people who harmed you in the past have moved on, even though it was extremely cruel and unconscionable. That's what I'm hearing. Even though that is truth, for you to carry it with you and the memories, so that the memories replay and you continue to hurt yourself over and over again, that's not serving you, and you know that.
Right.
But the reality is, no matter how many times you replay that in your mind, you're never hurting them. You're only hurting you.
Okay.
Can you identify with that?
Yes, I can.
And so the piece here is what's being said here is that there are gifts in this wounding for you. And the gifts in the wounding not only have to do with boundary issues, but, and this is not about you doing something wrong, because what I'm hearing is there's the situations were when you were actually helpless and you couldn't do anything else. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, exactly.
And so the part of the anger you have is at yourself for being helpless, and so it's almost like there's a cycle going on here. So your anger at the person who hurt you, you're also angry at yourself for being helpless. Then you move into anger at the fact that nobody was there for you, and then you move into the shame of not allowing yourself to feel to fight back or something. I don't know what that means. And then there's also the piece around, and then you go back to the top where you're angry at the person and the whole thing starts all over again. Can you identify
right.
with that cycle?
Yes, I can.
Okay. And so what's important here for you to understand, Kelly, is that by moving into forgiving yourself, you move into a place of compassion, and you move into a place where you can actually stand up and start living your life. Because up to this point, you've allowed the circumstances to control you rather than controlling your own life. So that you've, what I'm hearing is you've actually kind of sometimes blamed things on this, and that's why you haven't done other things. And it has a lot to do with self-trust. Because the piece here is that this is about you learning about self-trust and getting clear about what feels appropriate and what does not, what feels right and what doesn't. And so even though you may have had a life up to this point of making choices that didn't serve you, that can stop in a moment when you start really looking at and noting how you feel about something.
Okay.
And following that feeling or that intuition.
Okay.
Am I making sense to you?
Yes, that makes sense.
I mean, when I say that, can you place that in your life? Have you experienced
yes.
what the record? Okay.
Yes.
Sometimes I don't know what lifetime I'm in, so I have to. And so, what's be important here is for you to get very clear on allowing yourself to, let me get this right. To surrender to the compassion of allowing yourself off the hook. You never have to let the other person off the hook. You just have to leave yourself off the hook so that you can feel in control again.
Okay.
Now, there's a, you know, you've asked a very loaded question in about 5 or 10 minutes time, it's almost impossible to give you the full weight of this. However, hopefully this has helped you somewhat that you can
yes.
move forward.
Very much.
Okay. I mean, clearly, if you would like to have, you know, want to go further either with a therapist, that would probably be a good idea, or if you need, I'm not a therapist, and the record keepers, I don't put myself out as a therapist, nor do I put myself out as a psychic. But the idea with the Akashic Records, they can give you the soul information.
Okay.
So, but again, if you'd like to, you know, I'm going to have to close the show in a few minutes. That's the reason I'm kind of drawing to a close here, because I have to stop it at my time, midnight. And if you're in California, then your time, 9 o'clock. Or no, 10 o'clock. What time is it there? 9 o'clock, okay. Yeah, so we have to stop at 9. But what I want to say to you is that email me your information, and I can email you some more information about what I do as well.
Okay.
Okay, but because I have a sense, what I'm being told is that you have other questions, and I have a sense that there, you know, there's a lot of unfinished business here. But
yes.
Start out with this and see what you can do with it, and then either give me a call, but do email me, and I'll put you on my email list.
Okay.
Okay. All right,
thank
Kelly.
You
well,
very
thank you
much.
So much for, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you listen some more.
I will.
Hope you
thank
listen
you.
Again. We're out every Sunday.
I will.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank
you be
you,
well.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Well, you know what? I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a great show. And I love your questions. I love you. I think that you guys are the best thing since sliced bread. And they used to tell me that when I was a kid. And I so feel that it is absolutely key that we begin to look inside of ourselves. That was what the 90909 was about. And we have to continue it. We have an opportunity to shift our consciousness and to shift our beingness and to shift our planet. And it's up to us. We are the ones that we've been waiting for. So I want to say, I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we have to close the records for the show. I want to tell you that we're having a records workshop in Pittsburgh the first weekend in October. So call me if you'd like to have more information at 216-691-1233. Love you all. Have a great week, and I will talk to you next Sunday. Bye-bye.